a joy to spend some time with him and talk with him and learn from him, because he's got new eyes that we don't have anymore. And sometimes he can see things that we don't see. And I appreciate Alec an awful lot. His parents look at me like I'm weird or something because I like Alec, but today's scripture comes from the beginning of Psalm 107. It's about let the redeemed. I want you to listen. I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Praise be to God for what God does for us. God overwhelmingly brings things to us, and sometimes we don't see everything that God brings. But God blesses us above and beyond and over time and time again. I guess I would have to say, in one way, the book of Psalms is one of my most special parts of Scripture. Because in the midst of these psalms, you can find every human emotion. And I do mean every human emotion. You can find the joy and the happiness and the excitement of living for God. You can find the anguish and the struggle and the hurt and the pain. And you can even find people talking to God as you would think we shouldn't. And so I love to spend time in the book of Psalms, because sometimes I read these psalms and it comes to me in a way that it says, there's exactly what I wanted to say, but I didn't know how to say it. Finally, I have some words that can help me to say what I need to say. So I would encourage you, if you're not in the habit of using the book of Psalms, just take some time and do it piece by piece. No need to get through it all in 1 year, even, I want to say. Take some time. The psalm that I read this morning, Psalm 40, for part of my devotional time, talked about God opening ears. And I have spent since that time this morning saying, Lord, open my ears that I might hear you. Open my ears that I might hear what you have to say, and that I might understand it in a deep way. And it's just that little phrase, open my ears. And it was stuck right between two pieces that talked about sacrifices and giving everything up, and Lord, I just need my ears open so that I can hear what you have to say. And I hope this morning you'll hear what this psalmist has to say from the very beginning of this psalm. Because what this psalmist talks about is that all people begin life wandering and looking for a place of peace and rest. Everybody in the midst of our world is doing that. Now, everybody has a different idea of how to accomplish that peace and how to accomplish that rest. Some people think that if I gather more possessions than everybody else in the world, I can have peace and rest. Some people think if I can fill my barns with a plenty so that I never have to work again, I can have peace and rest. But I think everybody in this world is looking for that. Some may not be able to identify that's what they're looking for. They may not be able to share that and say that in so many words. But is that not? Ask a mother with three or four young children running around the house what peace and rest is. I bet she has a different opinion than what you have if you're older. Peace and rest means so many different things. But you see, right at the basic heart of it, all of us, every person in this world, is looking for peace and rest with God. Some won't tell you that way. But I've met many a people on their deathbed who have said, I hope God will accept me. They know where they're going. They know what's going to happen, whether they've been a church member or not. And they just want that kind of peace and rest with their Creator. Now, some realize that they will not find it alone. So they ask God to help them. Maybe some of you are like me. I searched in a number of different ways before someone shared the gospel with me, trying to find peace and rest. And I knew that I knew how to get it. And one of those ways to get it was not to interact with people. I didn't want friends. I wanted to be by myself. And I portrayed an image that purposely pushed people away from me because I felt like that's the only way I could find peace and rest, by not having to deal with everybody else's issues and problems, by not allowing their emergencies to spill over into my life and causing me to have emergencies. And you see, I came to a place where I realized that wouldn't work. And that's the same thing that happens for these people here in the beginning of the psalm. It says, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. You see, all of us are searching for that peace and rest, and all of us are trying to find it. And some few people come to realize it's only with God that I can find that. I can't do it alone. Yeah, there's people out there that thinks they can save themselves. But at some point in time, they will find it comes to naught, because they cannot save themselves. And if we could save ourselves, why did Jesus Christ need to come? And why did Jesus Christ need to die on the cross? If people can save themselves. So it says here that they found at the end of troubled ways and at the end of distress, and as their life was ebbing away, they turned to God for help. And if people will accept what God has done, then God will deliver, lead, and feed them from the best of life. If people accept what God has done, I have to accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And that his death on that cross, his blood which was poured out, his body which was broken, he suffered for me so that now my sins are paid for. Once for all. It never needs to happen again. I don't need to bring a new sacrifice. God has already done that. And if we will trust God in that, God not only delivers us, but God will lead us and feed us from the best of life. You get that? 1981, at some point in time, I'm not sure when in that year, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And since then, God has led me day by day by day. It has been difficult at times. And there were times that I walked the wrong way. But God was always there ready to deliver me from the midst of wherever I had put myself and ready to lead and guide me in the direction I needed to go. And God has fed me from the best of life since that day. Even though there are times I don't deserve it. There are times I don't deserve the best of life that God has given me. But God continues to bring it. Now, in the midst of all that, there's still been desert wastelands. There's still been difficult times. I don't want you to think otherwise. I'm not today preaching the gospel of prosperity as some ministers do. This is not the gospel of prosperity. Come to Jesus and all your problems will be gone and you'll have all the money you need for the rest of your life. That gospel does not exist in Scripture. Jesus even told us, you will have problems if you follow me. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. But I can tell you this. Why do I continue to preach? Why do I continue to teach? Because I don't want you to miss the blessings of life that God has for you. When you follow God fully. If you were here on Wednesday night and we talked some about this, coming to God is not a buffet table. And you pick and choose what you want. Either you eat from all of the buffet or you don't eat from any of it. Because walking the Christian life is a buffet. But God wants you to participate in all of it. And by that I mean, you don't go through scriptures and pick out the things you like to follow and the rest of them you throw off to the side. Okay? If you don't like mushrooms, you still got to eat mushrooms at God's buffet. Okay? You got to follow what God asks you to follow. And as we talked about on Wednesday night from Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says follow fully, completely, totally, not pick and choose. And that's why I say this is not a buffet and you fill up your plate with what you want. God's asking you to do some tremendous and incredible things. And I know somebody's going to say, but Pastor, those are too hard. No, they're not. Because God wants to help you live them. And when God helps you, God is going to deliver you. God is going to lead you on how to do those things. And God is going to feed you from the best of life. Always. Now, when this happens, as we see here in the psalm, it starts out this way. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So when we accept what God has done for us, this should be followed by giving God great thanks for everlasting love. The Hebrew word here is chesed. C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed. By the way, there's not a ch sound in Hebrew. It all happens in the back of your throat. It's a hard K, chesed. By the way, that's what I named my cat that I have at home, so that I can always remember how much God loves me. Chesed. It's an everlasting love. It's a never-ending love. It's a love that is always there, no matter what you've done or what you haven't done that you were supposed to do. That love is still there. That love is overpowering. That love is forever. That love, you will never reach the depth of the love that God has for you. Absolutely incredible. And as we catch a glimpse of that, we should come to God and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our lives should be lives of gratitude. Okay, yes, sometimes we like to grumble and complain. But the overarching thing should be gratitude. And when we see the incredible things that God has done for us, I'm going to ask this question: how can we grumble and complain? How can we? I know people that the very first thing that they say is something to grumble and complain when I meet them. How can you be that way? When you see what God has done for you, when you see how much God loves you, when you have turned to God and God says, I love you this much. Should we not be excited? I've been to many church services on Sundays through my years. And I'm sorry to say, some of them look like funerals. You would think, instead of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of a hopeful, gracious life that we have, you would think that some people wouldn't be looking like they're at a funeral and have lost someone they loved. But it happens so often. Are you excited about the life that God has brought to you? Are you? Well, I got one amen. So the rest of you aren't excited about it. Are you excited about the life that God has brought you? Are you excited about the blessings that God poured down upon you today? Shouldn't we be thankful about that? Shouldn't we be excited about that as we go out in the midst of the world? We got enough Eeyores out in the midst of the world, don't we? And one of the biggest things I hate is a Christian Eeyore. And for those of you that don't know the Winnie the Pooh stories, I love them. And Eeyore would just be like, oh, woe is me. Pooh, I've lost my tail. Have you seen it? And you know what? That's how some Christians live. That's exactly how some Christians live. Oh, woe is me. I watched the news this morning. This world's getting worse and worse and worse. But God's blessing you more and more and more. God's bringing more and more to you. You were able to get up this morning and breathe. Is that not a blessing? I had asthma at one point in my life. It's a blessing to breathe. If you've never had a problem breathing, you just don't understand. You take it for granted. Most people do. Most of you, I'm not going to be willing to say all, but most of you probably woke up in a house this morning that was warm. Is that not a blessing? We've got people in this community that probably slept in a bush last night. It's happening. whether you see it or not. It's happening. So why are we grumbling? Why are we not more excited about what God has done for us? If nothing else, no one can take away my salvation that I got through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Nobody can take that away. Once you trust in God, you have that forever. Now, I know somebody's going to want to debate that with me, but that's what I believe. Once you truly trust God, you have that salvation forever. There is nothing that can take it away. How can you not live a blessed life then? Nothing. God's everlasting love. Many years ago, someone sponsored me to go on what's called a walk to Emmaus, which is a retreat program through United Methodist. Catholics do the same thing. They call it Curcio. And there's, I know the Presbyterians do the same thing. I can't remember what they call their version of this. I was dropped off on a Thursday night by a sponsor. And the sponsor didn't come back and pick me up until Sunday afternoon. From Thursday evening till Sunday afternoon, I overwhelmingly found out how much God loved me. Overwhelmingly. There were tears in my eyes at times to realize how much God loved me. There's one experience that happened to me that I'll just share a piece of it with you. We were told that we were going to have communion every day. I can't remember now whether it was Friday. I think it was Friday night that this happened. We hadn't had communion all day. And it was almost time to go to bed. By the way, you know, one of the things they asked us to do was to take our watches off and not wear them for the whole weekend. What a blessing that was. What an incredible blessing that was. We go in to have communion and I look at the table. And there's juice there, but there's no bread. Being a pastor and being aware that this is what we got to have when we're going to have communion, my first thought was, uh-oh, somebody made a mistake. And here in a minute, I'm going to watch somebody try to sneak out of the room and bring back a loaf of bread. Guess what? Never happened. While we're sitting there and waiting, these two clowns, and I do mean clowns, they were dressed in clown uniforms, costumes, whatever you want to call it, makeup, the whole nine yards. These two clowns came in. And I'm thinking, we're supposed to be having communion, and now we're getting a skit by these two clowns. One of them ended up going out and coming back in with a box. It said, gift for you. Set it on the altar table. They took out of it, they took out of that box a statue of Joseph. And they passed it around the room and let people see it. Put it on the altar table. They took out a statue of Mary and passed that around the room. Let people see it and put it on the table. They took a loaf of bread out of the box and took a napkin and wrapped it like it was a diaper around the loaf of bread. And they passed it around the room. And as they passed it around the room, every once in a while they would hand it to somebody and get them to rock it like a baby. And they took a cross out of the box and a crown of thorns. And they put that loaf of bread on the cross and drove a railroad spike into it. And that was the loaf of bread that we used for communion. changed forever the way I see communion. Forever. Because Jesus Christ was that baby who came. And that baby who was on the cross. And to hold a loaf of bread and cradle it like a baby and then use that loaf of bread for communion. You see, that's how much God loves you. That is how much God loves you. Should we not be giving great thanks for that? Incredible thanks. I never would have thought that communion could be changed by two clowns. Years after that, I helped do that, not as a clown, okay? I helped do that on weekends. And one time I had done a skit right before that where I had to portray Jesus. And they had made like nail holes on me for the people to see. And I had stepped out of the room as the clowns came in order to change and come back in. And I had forgotten to take the makeup off that was the holes. And communion changed once again. As they took that loaf of bread and drove a railroad spike into it, and I looked down and could see the makeup that was holes. And I realized once again how much God loves me. Absolutely incredible that God loves you that much. Thanks. Thanks, God. And then the psalm does one thing more. In this very first piece of it, once we realize all that, once we accept what God has done for us, then we should tell as many others as possible about how God has redeemed us. We should tell as many other people as possible how God has redeemed us. I know it's hard for some of you who have been in church your whole life to believe, but I got to age 18 before anybody told me about Jesus Christ dying for me. No one had ever told me. No one had ever told me I could accept Jesus Christ and have salvation. No one ever told me how much God loved me in spite of who I was. No one. And I want you to realize then in our world today, the problem is even worse. We have 20, 30, and 40-year-olds in our community living here who have never been told about Jesus Christ. They didn't grow up in church. They don't know the stories of the Bible. Folks, if we don't tell them, they'll never know. If we don't tell them how much God loves them, that God loves them this much, they'll never find salvation. They'll never find peace. And they'll never find rest. I know somebody might be bold enough to say, well, they'll know that I'm a Christian by the way I live. Then I'm just going to ask a very simple question. And if you have an answer for this question, I'd love to talk with you about it. Then why did Jesus need to tell? If Jesus felt it necessary to talk about it, I mean, wouldn't he have been the perfect example that everybody could tell from? And yet he still talked about it. I'll tell you the incredibly sad thing that happens every day. Somebody dies without accepting Jesus Christ. And some of those people die without ever having heard how to accept Jesus Christ. What will we do? Which stage do you need to put into action? Being redeemed? Giving thanks? Or telling others? Which stage of this whole process do you need to most put into action? Being redeemed. Do you need to make that first step? I'm here to help you with that today. Do you need to give more thanks and less complaints? Do you need to tell other people about Jesus Christ so that at least they had the opportunity to hear and know what they needed to do for salvation? Which one of these three do you need to most put into action in your life? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now because really the lostness of this world is on us. We need to be telling. We need to be sharing. We need to be giving thanks time and time and time again. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to declare to this lost world your everlasting love for each and every person. And help us to think once again about what your sacrifice means for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.